Children to come up for the children's message. Good morning, guys. How many of you guys already picked up your bag for the day for those who are going to stay in the service? One. You guys, two. You got to get a bag because in your bag there's this new paper in there. It looks like this. It's in the folder and it's going to be in there every week from now on. And this is the secret paper because if you do your best to kind of try to fill it out. And if you can't write yet, if you do a picture on the back that has some kind of meaning for the message that day, then this is how you get a prize. And you know what? I got some really cool new prizes this week. So, and it's not just Tootsie Rolls, I promise. It's good stuff. So, today it asks questions. It asks you about what book in the Bible were we in. If you look at the screen, you can find that. Not yet. Not till sermon time. No cheating. There's a spot where you can say what you're learning today. Maybe a word you heard that you don't know what it means, you can write that down. So it helps you know how to listen really well and take just a few little notes. It's kind of fun. And if you show me that you at least tried it, because it's kind of hard at some places, I'll give you a prize, all right? Okay, moving on. We took care of business for a little bit. You guys, think about the people that you live with. Maybe it's your mom and your dad and a brother or sister. Maybe it's grandma or grandpa. Yeah, all right. Think about somebody you live with and tell me what is maybe their favorite food. Do you know the favorite food of your mom or your dad or your brothers? Tootsie Rolls. Really? All right. Well, they can come to my office because there's lots of those left over that nobody else will take. Anybody else know maybe a favorite thing of a mom or dad or brother or sister? Favorite food? Jesus songs. Is that your grandma's favorite thing to listen to? Cool. Who has a brother or sister? What is their, do you know what their favorite toy is? Or some of their favorite things to play with? Barbies?
Babies.
Babies? Yeah. Okay, what is something that makes your mom or your dad or your grandma or grandpa happy? We already heard Jesus songs. Paw Patrol? Yeah. What's something that makes them sad, the people that live with you? Fighting and noise. Yeah, you know what? We actually know a lot about the people that we live with because we live with them. And so all the time we're seeing what they like and what they don't like, and we don't even notice it, but we're taking notes and we remember these things. And today we're going to read a story in the Bible where Jesus tells us to make our home with him, to live so close to him that we get to know him, like his favorite things, what makes him happy, what makes him sad. He doesn't want to just be like your next door neighbor that sometimes you see, sometimes you don't. But he wants to be like the person that lives in your house that you know so, so, so well. And we're going to learn some ways to do that. We can read his word together. We can learn about other people that love Jesus and try to be close to them and ask them questions about him. There's lots of ways to grow, but he wants us to know him just like that. And he knows us just like that, too. And so it's pretty cool. You guys, this week, I want you to find someone in your life that you think knows Jesus really well and ask them just two questions about Jesus, whatever you want to ask, and see if they can help you understand him more. Can you do that? All right, let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for these boys and girls, and I thank you that you want to make your home with them. I pray that as they grow in this church, as they grow in their homes, that they would know more and more of what it means, not to just be a fan of Jesus, but to follow him, to have their lives changed by you in every possible way. I thank you for how their excitement and energy inspires our own. And may we as a church family grow together in making a home for you and with you. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And hear these words from verses 1 to 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, your word here tells us that if we abide in your word, that you will abide in us. And so we come this morning with open hearts and open ears, and with your word open before us, seeking to know more and more your heart, your ways, seeking to know what it is you're calling us to do, who it is you're calling us to be as individuals and as a church family. And so, Father, would you have your way among us this day? Would you speak your word to us through these words that we have heard? And Father, as we go from this place moments from now, help us be those who leave with every inclination to be people who not only hear your word, but who live it, obey it, who do it as well. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So over the next 3 weeks, we will be asking again and again who it is God is calling us to be as individuals and as a church. And from that, what it is God is calling us to do. We'll be asking questions of what is our purpose and our aim and what's the mission that we strive for in all of our ministries and our worship together and our service. And we're going to spend all 3 of these weeks right here in John 15, this core passage. It's a passage that contains some of the final words of instruction that Jesus gave to his disciples before he walked toward his crucifixion. In John 15, not only are the words important because of where they fall in Jesus' life, but they offer this beautiful picture of this vine and branches that we are able to hold on to and apply to our own questions of identity and purpose. So this morning we jump right in and we begin first and foremost with this focus on the word of invitation that comes up 11 times in 11 verses. I don't know if you caught it, but that word was abide. Or sometimes it could be called dwell in, or live in, or make yourself at home in. Before Jesus leaves his disciples, he makes sure that they hear an invitation from him and that they hear it well. He says, once I go from this place, still you are called to make your home with me just as you have lived with me during our time together here on earth. He says, continue to abide in me just as I abide in you. And you know, whenever we're reading scripture, whenever we hear Jesus say the same thing 11 times, we do well to stop and listen. Because he must think that what he is saying matters, that it's important. There's something about the relationship with the people that you live with that's uniquely different from any of your other relationships. There are certain phrases that we all continue to say, or certain quirky practices that we all continue to do because we pick them up from living in our parents' home for 18 or so years. For better or worse, we spent very formative years of our life living in their midst. And so we continue to carry pieces of them with us, whether we like it or not. The way you organize your pantry back at home, or the way you fold laundry or fix a leaky faucet, You see any of your parents in some of that? Or what about the way you react when someone hurts your feelings or makes you angry or cuts you off in traffic? You see any of your parents in that? When we abide with people, it changes us. When I went to college, my roommate for all 4 years was a theater major. And before that time, I had never really been to a play, didn't grow up in a very artsy family. But because of my roommate and her interest in the arts, I found I didn't miss a play for 4 years. And to this day, I enjoy them very much. This roommate of mine, she loved Simon and Garfunkel and the Beatles. I had never really heard of them much besides in my dad's car driving across town. But by the time I graduated from college, I realized somehow I had all of their albums as well. And you know, I had other friends in college, not just the one, surprisingly so. But I didn't pick up on all of their hobbies or all of their music preferences along the way. There's something about living in the same space as another that changes us. When I went to the Middle East, when I moved there to live, I realized within weeks I had completely changed the way I dressed. I dyed my hair black, and I reworked my schedule to be in every night by dark, because that's what women in that part of the world do, not the typical schedule of a 20-something-year-old American girl. I began speaking English the way my Arab friends spoke English, and that tended to be in a strange accent with really skewed verb tenses. When I came back to America to live here, for weeks I would find myself speaking broken English to other Americans. I would say, "What's your name? Where are you from? You want to eat dinner?" Everything was different. And then for at least the first few weeks, I drove my mom crazy because I kept speaking to her all day long in Arabic. It drove her up the wall. And you know, thousands of people visit the pyramids in Egypt each and every year. But I can assure you, when they come back home from their vacation, their English doesn't suffer the least. There's something about dwelling with another that changes you. And then I moved to Washington. And I don't know if you've noticed it yet, but I've noticed it. The word y'all is slowly finding its way out of my vocabulary. Still room to grow, but it's happening. And I began to think this week, just about a year ago, give or take a couple weeks, I gathered with some friends in Waco, Texas, to watch Super Bowl 48. And to be honest, I think I only saw the last minute of the game, plus all the commercials, of course. But then, just last weekend, less than a year later, I found myself gathered with some of you in my own house, and I was hosting a Seahawks party. And after the food was all served, I found myself watching, not the commercials, but actually watching the game. And I really did care, believe it or not. I really did want the Seahawks to win, and I really was bummed when they didn't. Now, I don't claim to be at the same status in my level of fandom as some of you, Peggy, yet. But there's been a lot of growth there, and it's still happening. Because things change when you live among a people. And if anyone knows anything about this change that comes from making our home with others, it's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I mean, that's the whole story of the incarnation, a God who changed some things to come and to dwell among us. We serve a Savior who came not just to check in with us, but who came to make a home with us. And a Savior who calls us, even still, to find a way to make a home with Him. That's what He's emphasizing so strongly in John 15. 11 times we hear it, "My people, my children, abide, abide, abide." I could say it 8 more times, but you get the point. What does this mean? Who is He calling us to be? What is He calling us to do? to abide above all else is a clear invitation to move beyond knowing about someone into actually knowing them. It sounds like the same thing. It's totally different. You see, there's this huge difference between being an admirer or a fan of Jesus and actually being his follower, his child, his friend. When Jesus calls us to abide in him, he's not calling us to just read enough of the Bible to pass a Bible trivia quiz about him. He's not interested in that. He's not asking us to just check in with him for an hour or so once a week on Sundays. He's not interested in that. Nor is he asking us to hear stories about what he's up to and to stand on the sidelines and clap for him as he does what he does. Jesus is not asking us to be his friends at all. He's asking us to be his people, his children, to actually know him because we live our lives with him, not fans, but his children who know him, not just know about him. He's asking us to know him so intimately that we come to know what makes his heart beat a little bit faster and what absolutely breaks it. And he's hoping that our closeness to him will cause our own hearts to beat and to break over the very same things as his. To abide is to recognize his voice in a crowded room, and is to continually make space for his voice to even be heard in a silent place. To abide is to live our lives so intimately connected to his that sometimes we say things and think things and do things that look a whole lot more like him than they do like us. Things that we may never have said or done or thought were it not from him, from this real abiding relationship with him. People in this world who I know about, but who I don't share any real sort of relationship with, for the most part, they haven't changed me all that much. Perhaps I wear their jersey from time to time, or perhaps I pick up one of their ideas that I hear in passing. But for the most part, these people I know about, if I didn't know about them at all, my daily life wouldn't be all that different than it is now. But those people, those ones that I really know intimately and deeply, well, their absence from my life would leave me changed completely, because we're deeply connected. And when Jesus asks us to abide in him, this is the kind of relationship he has in mind. A people walking so closely to him that somehow or another their lives just begin to look like him. I want us to take a moment to just think through this past week of your life, just the past week. What things in your life were different in the past 7 days because of the people who live in your home, or because of the people you share the deepest part of yourself with? How much of your time was spent in conversation with these people? How many meals were shared together? How was your daily schedule impacted by them? Did you do anything or go anywhere or watch anything on TV or listen to any music in the car that you wouldn't have were these people not in your life? Did you cook something this week that you don't particularly care for, but you knew that they liked it? Did you wake up earlier or go to bed later than you would have preferred because of their needs? Did you break the work routine to send a text or a call and check in on them throughout your day? Was there a time this week that you heard about their bad day and you carried their hurt so deeply that your perfectly fine day now seems kind of bad as well? Did you celebrate with them when they got good news that didn't really affect your life at all? But because of them, things turned up for you. In which ways was your life different this week because of the people you choose to live your life with? It's more than you can possibly even count, because it's just kind of happening all the time. How did your love for them, how did your commitment to them, how did your nearness to them change you? And now, dare I ask all these same questions about Jesus and us? What things in your life were different this past week alone because you were sharing your life with Jesus? How much time did you spend in conversation with him? How was your daily schedule impacted by him? Did you do anything? Did you go anywhere? Did you say anything just because Jesus was there? Things you wouldn't have done, places you wouldn't have gone, words you wouldn't have spoken, were it not for his relationship with you. Did you make any choices this week that weren't your preference at all, but you knew they were his preference? Did you wake up earlier, go to bed later than you preferred because of Jesus's wants? Did you break the work routine even once to check in on him and invite him into your life throughout the day? Did you recognize those things around you that were sure to break his heart and realize your perfectly good day was now a little bit broken as well? Did you celebrate with him when he lets you see glimpses of his kingdom taking root all around you? In which ways were our lives different this week because we chose to be a people who lived closely to Jesus? Not just to admire him from a distance. Not just a people who would keep him at arm's length, waiting to touch base on Sunday. But a people abiding, dwelling, making a home with him every single day. How did our love for him, how did our nearness to him change us? And friends, I'm afraid to say, if we could conceivably live last week all over again without Jesus, and very little would be any different than it was, then perhaps we're relating to our God more like the next door neighbor and less like that God who wants to make his home with us and in us. And you know, neighbors are good and all, at least most of them, but that's not the relationship Jesus is interested in. He wants to abide. Jesus doesn't want a space next door. He wants a space right smack dab in the middle of our hearts and of our homes. He wants to share his life with us, all of his life, all the time. And the good news, the incredible news in all of this, if you noticed in verse 4, he asks us to abide in him just as he is abiding in us. You see, Jesus isn't asking us to do anything that he hasn't already made great effort to do himself. In fact, he left a pretty good gig, hanging out with the Father God in heaven and all, in this perfect, unbroken communion to come and to be with us. He must really think we're something. And some of us really need to hear that today. Some of us have only ever been made to believe that we're really pretty difficult people to live with. Some of you had parents that talked down to you, that sent you out the first day they legally could and said, find your way in the world. Some of you have had spouses that were sure that you knew how much of an inconvenience you were to them. Some have had children who told them they couldn't wait till they turned 18 to be free from you. And if that's true for you here today, that Jesus knows you better than you know yourself, and still he wants to abide in you. Still, he went to great effort to live with you. My friends, Jesus is not ashamed by you, and he is not annoyed with you. He loves you. He loves you so much that he would step out of glory to be involved in the mess with you. He loved you so much that he would give up what he had to share the tears and the joys with you. He loves you so much that he changed everything about where he was and what he was up to make a way to be with you. Knowing that you're loved like that, what joy. Verse 11, Jesus says, I'm telling you this abiding stuff so that your joy may be complete. You're loved and you're loved deeply. What joy. And getting to love someone who loves you that deeply right back. What an invitation. What a gift. And so then we have to ask how. In these crazy lives that we lead, how in the world do I actually let Jesus make his home with me? And a word of encouragement, friends, abiding never happens overnight. Those of you in the room who are married, think about your spouse. You didn't just wake up one morning and all of a sudden know all their quirks and all of their interests. You got to know them over time, talking and then dating, and then falling in love, and then committing, and then marriages, and then there was ups and downs, and there was committing again, and again, and again. And now, years in, somehow you're deeply connected, and you can't really look back and point to just one moment or one event when that happened. Relationships, they take time, and they take effort. We start with what we've got. And we determine to go just one step deeper, and then another, and then another. We determine to carve out more space for the other, and then some more space, and then some more space. We seek out to ask better questions from them that help us really get to know them. And we ask others who know them well too, that they might also help us get to know them fully and completely. Jesus gives a couple ideas on how to abide in these verses. There in verse 7, he says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you. And in verse 10, he says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. How can we abide in Jesus more this week than last week? Even more this year than last year? Well, plain and simple, we can pour into his word. And that's more than 20 minutes on Sundays. That's not abiding. That's checking in. We can be a people who get to know his story, who listen to what he taught, who see what he did, and we can let ourselves actually be changed by it. And just like any relationship, we can simply carve out a little more space to sit with Jesus this week than we did last week. And we can do a little more next week and the next week. And before you even know it, you'll be abiding with him. You won't even be able to say when that happened or how. You just are. We can intentionally take an extra break from the routine and work this week, and we can check in with him. We can add another break to turn from the routine and the work next week. And the next week, and soon you'll be dwelling with Jesus at work and in the routine. We can surround ourselves with people in our lives who seem to know Him intimately, and we can learn about Him from them. No need to reinvent the wheel. There's people in this place who know Jesus really, really well. Hang out with those people. Truth is, there are all kinds of ways to abide. Way too many to list, because the heart of abiding is simply creating space for this real, dynamic, organic relationship to take root. So there's no blueprint. How you live with Jesus will be different than how I live with Jesus, because relationships are unique and they're organic, but they're possible. And they always take some work and some effort and some intentionality. You know, when your spouse tells you that you felt a bit distant lately, if you care about that relationship, you begin to make an effort to do some things differently and reconnect. When your child tells you he misses having you home for dinner, you purposely adjust some things that have gotten out of place. And just the same way, sometimes we feel distant from Jesus, like we're more checking in with Him here and there and not really living with Him, and we just kind of expect Him to come and to fix things without putting any effort to adjust some things ourselves. And relationships simply don't work that way. When we are living with people, we are always making adjustments so we can better share our lives together. And so it is as our lives become more and more a home for Jesus, always making some adjustments so He might better be at home with us. What might that mean for you this week, for us, as we seek to be a people who abide with Jesus? What adjustments, what additions, what changes will give Him more room to dwell among us? We indeed serve a God who has gone to great effort to make a home for us with Him. Might we always strive to make more of a home for Him with us as well. Belfair Community Church, my hope, my dream, my earnest prayer for us is that we will be known as a people who are longing to abide with Jesus. Let us be a people who are actively getting to know Him better each and every day. And as we get to know Him, might we be a people who are actually being changed by Him. You see, even the demons know about Him. Might we be a people who truly know Him. And the sign that we truly know Him is we are changed by Him. So that our joy may be complete, so that love and fruit pour out of this place, let's get to know Him. Let's make a home for Him, and let's do it together. That's our very first calling. Make a home for Jesus. And once that's in place, from this home with Him, I can guarantee you everything else will fall into place. Everything. But apart from Him, it says we can do nothing. Nothing. Everything or nothing. Which way will it be? Jesus, come and make your home with me. Come and dwell with us. Jesus, you are welcome in this place to have us and to change us. Until we know you so well that we look like you in every possible way. Jesus, come and abide in us. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you that you even want to abide in us. You know how complex we are. You know our baggage. You know the places of our immaturity. You know the hurts that we carry. You know the sins that we walk into over and over and over again. And still you tell us you want to live life with us. It's amazing. It's humbling. Thank you. And Lord Jesus, just as much as you want to live with us, stir in our hearts this longing to live with you. Not to just give you a call every so often, but to live with you. To allow you into every part of our lives, to give you a say in all that we do and all that we are. I pray as we begin this new week that we would live it with you. And I pray when we gather next Sunday and we're asked what things would have looked different were Jesus not there, that we can't even imagine living the same week again because you were all over it. Would you be in the words we say and the things we do and the places we go and the people we love? Live with us, we pray. Father, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.